I want to greet everybody. Good morning. Glad to be back. For most of you, you were here last year. We were here last year and came to the end of that meeting. I had to leave a day early for my brother passing away, and I appreciate all your kindness on that. This is the week he passed away. This is it. So I talked to my nephew last night, and he said, I said, it's going to be a hard week for you guys. And he said, it's been a hard week coming up to it. So anyway, he was listening to my brother singing all day yesterday. And he says, it's just good to hear his voice. And so I said, yeah, he made everybody happy. And he was a godly man and is a godly man. He's now a perfect man. So if you want to, pray for Kim Pelletier and her kids, Brittany and Nathan, this week. But I thank God for the memory of my brother. Well, thank you again for all your kindness last year. And now we're back a year later, and we're still here, and we didn't get raptured yet. I thought we might be. But it's going to happen, amen? It will. And I'm looking forward to this week, as you, I know, are too, because I know that you folk have a heart for God. And so, amen. We have a guest with us that I have not even gotten to say hi to yet. This is Rose sitting next to my wife. Everybody say hi, Rose.
Hi, Rose.
I met Rose, it had to be at least 17 years ago. Is that how long ago it was? And the last time I saw you was probably 15 years ago. I'm guessing. And Rose went to Riggles Gap Baptist Church in Riggles Gap, Pennsylvania. And she's been contacting me once in a while, and she says she's going on a vacation, and she wants to come to spend a week in a revival meeting. So she's staying over here at Gennetti. Anybody ever stay there? Is it good? Okay, any bugs? Big bugs, Rose. Okay. But anyway, I thought that said a lot about Rose wanting to come for revival, all right? So she came all the way from Riggles Gap on a Greyhound, so you can come in your Mustang, okay? All right, let's take our Bibles and let's turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 11, please. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Let's go ahead and stand together out of respect for God's word, if you don't mind. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. You're going to like this verse, the first four words. Rejoice, O young man. Now, do you feel like I just gave you a compliment? Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. It says, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart, put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. Chapter 12 and verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Heavenly Father, we do ask for your blessing on the Sunday school, the Sunday morning, Sunday night services, and all through the entire week, through the end. And we pray, Lord, that you would direct our path as we trust in you with all our heart, and we lean not on our own understanding. And we know that you'll hold true to your promises. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. The three most common questions ever asked in all of history have to do with origin, purpose, and direction. And the origin is, where did I come from? Why am I here? That's the purpose. And then where am I going? That is the direction. And the answer to these questions really stands or falls on did I come from Adam, as the Bible teaches, or did we come from apes, as society's teaching. And really, these questions are really going to be answered the second and third by the first question. Now, the where we came from affects why we're here. If I came from a monkey, then I can live like a monkey. I can act like a beast. If I came from God, then I've got a purpose, and that's to glorify God in everything and to consider God in everything. And where am I going? If I came from an animal and we're just came by process of evolution, and of course we're just going to die and it's all going to be done, so then our whole pursuit would be eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. But if we came from a creator, and we did, we're going to respond and return to him and give an account for how we've lived. Now, I believe that most everyone, if not everybody in here, already believes that God created us. I don't have a question about that. But I do think that we are a lot more influenced by society than we think we are sometimes. And I believe that sometimes we live like evolutionists when really we say we're creationists. And in our minds, we think we're creationists, and we believe we're creationists, and we are creationists, but we really are influenced by evolutionists in the way we live. And so I'm just going to start the meeting by just reminding us the fact is the fact that we were created by God, there is a God, and that this should influence everything about us. Now, as you look at these three questions, and we just kind of think through them a little bit, it's first, where did I come from? Now, though it's addressing young men, it does address where we all came from. Look at Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 1. It says, remember now thy creator. So this obviously is reminding us that we have a creator that we're to remember in everything that we do. We shouldn't compartmentalize our lives. We ought to remember the creator in everything, in our choices, in our purposes, in our pursuits. Remember our creator. Now, you've heard the phrase, well, I'll be a monkey's uncle. Well, evolutionists say that my uncle was a monkey. And they base that basically on a few reasons. One, there's so many similarity between man and monkey, then we must evolve from a monkey. Now, basically, you could use that in such a way to say dogs have four legs. Couches have four legs. Therefore, dogs evolved from couches. Isn't that dumb? I've seen people with puppy dog eyes or frog eyes. Does that mean we came from puppy dogs or frogs? No, it just means that there's similarities, and we know that. Monkeys breathe air. How many of you breathe air? Ooh, doesn't that prove we came from monkeys? Monkeys eat bananas. How many of you eat bananas? Oh, doesn't that prove? And no, it doesn't. All it proves is that God in his wisdom made a digestive system in a monkey and a man similar so that we could exist in the same environment. God made their lungs and our lungs similar so we could exist in the same environment. And all that shows is the wisdom of God. Now, how they say that we came from the original blob, they have these little links. They had the Piltdown Man. They had the Java Ape Man. Now, the way they came up with the Piltdown Man is they found two or three pieces of a bone. They didn't find them all at the same place, even at the same time. They put a jawbone, two or three pieces of a skull, and a canine tooth all together, and they created the rest of the body, and they came up with the Piltdown Man. The Java Ape Man, three fragments, part of a skull, a femur, and another bone. And they didn't find them in the same place. They were 50 feet apart. But they put it all together and created the rest of the being. Now, when I was a kid, we used to play with Mr. Potato Head. Now, if you take the person on your left and put their lips on your face, and then you take the person on the right and put their ears on your head, you could come up with some pretty funny-looking beasts. And that's basically what they did. They had three parts, popped it together, and then they created in their mind the rest of the body, even that it had hair. When, how do you get hair from a tooth? And so to believe that, it's like putting together Mr. Potato Head. It's nonsense. And I say you've got to have a potato head to believe that. Now, Romans 1 verse 24 says, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we don't hate them, but we don't want to believe that lie. The cosmic evolution, there was a big bang and out came this universe. And we're more intelligent than that. Take an M80 firecracker, pack it with a mud ball, leave the wick out, light it, and when it hardens and you blow it up, it'll blow the mud in different directions. And when it does, see if planets are formed. Now, out came the sun, the moon, the earth, Venus, Mars, Neptune. And it's all a fine-tuned clock, and it just came from a big explosion. We're too intelligent to believe that, I would hope. Now, when we look at this, we can't believe it. They say it took billions and billions of years. And then they call it science. To have science, you've got to reproduce it. But they can't reproduce it. So it's not science. And nobody was there when it happened. And no one was there when God created the earth but God himself. But yet we have evidence of the Bible being true. So if the Bible is true, and then we have common sense to say everything's so detailed, then there's obviously there is support for creationism. There is not support for evolution. Now, where we came from, we came definitely from a creator. And knowing that we came from a creator, this affects everything. Now, most of us, as I mentioned, will say that we believe in a creator. But we're living sometimes like evolutionists, and that's where I get to my next point. Now, if we are created by God, and if we are going to return to God, then God should be the focus of everything right now. And he's not being the focus. We're living just like evolutionists. Now, simple explanation. If I came from an ape, then why am I here? I guess I would have the same goals of an ape. Now, a lot of people you look at, they seem to me like they just have the goals of the average ape. Now, last time I was in a jungle and I talked to a monkey, I said, what are your goals for life? And here's what they said. Survive. It's a jungle out there. And the second one was swing from the tallest tree. Or, hey man, let's party. And then the last goal of a monkey is eat a few bananas. That's what they want to do. Or let's get a few material things. And this is really how a lot of us are living if you think about it. Now, we have to not just say we believe something. It needs to be something we believe. And belief produces behavior. And when you look at our behavior, you wonder sometimes if we believe. Now, the first thing is survive. Now, Ecclesiastes 9:10 in the chapter in the book of Ecclesiastes gives a good verse for us all. Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10. It says, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with all thy might, or do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave, whither thou goest. Now here's what he's saying. Whatever you do, if you're created by God, you do it with all of your might. Now, Romans says, Romans 12:10, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, I think there are different applications here that we could give. All right, one application is obvious that the pursuit of a lot of Christians has turned to just being paying the bills, making a living. And the whole purpose or the whole pursuit in life every day is like the ditch digger. I go to work and dig a ditch to get the money, to buy the food, to get the strength, to dig the ditch. To get the money, to buy the food, to pay for the car, to drive it to work, to dig the ditch. To get the money, to buy the clothes, to wear to work, to dig the ditch. To get the money, to buy the food, to get the strength to dig the ditch, to pay the payment. And it cycle month after month after month after month. And then we almost sit back and say, whoo, mission accomplished. I paid my bills this month. And it's almost like we're totally satisfied with just surviving. Now, there's got to be more to life than that. And for someone who is created by God, there's much more to life. Our focus shouldn't be on just surviving. I think another application would be when we do less than our best. I think a lot of times we just get by. I remember when I was a kid, my pastor used to teach us less than your best is a sin. He would say, if you can get a B and you're getting a C, it's a sin. If you're getting a C and you could be getting a B, is what he said. If you're getting a D and you could be getting a C. If you're getting a B and you could be getting an A. And he used to say, if you've got two Christians that work at McDonald's and they're both flipping hamburgers, the person who's a Christian ought to flip the hamburgers higher than the guy who's not. Why? Because whatever he does for the glory of God. And I think even as we're out in the community, there ought to be a little bit more dedication from a Christian to whatever we're doing than somebody who's not a Christian. Because whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, we're doing all to the glory of God. Now, are you really aware of your Creator when you're at work and what He sees, how you act? Are you really aware of your Creator, or are you just trying to pay the bills until you die? Now, the Creator of the universe is God. Our Creator is God, and that should affect why we're here. But most of us, and many of us at least, are living as if we're evolutionists. All right, just survive. Now, when I look at this, I see in Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9, though it's speaking to young people, one of the big pursuits that a lot of Christians are having, okay? Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, though we're not all young. Walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Now, here's what I get from that. I get, walk in the way of your heart, in the sight of your eyes. That means if you want to do something you think it'd be fun, do it. If you see something you'd like to do and you would enjoy, do it. But then he says, but know that for all these things God will bring them to judgment. Now, if you put it in the common vernacular, maybe a vernacular that we might be used to if you're from the 80s, swing from the tallest tree or hey man, let's party. Now, I can remember when I was young, the mindset of some of the guys in my school was simply, hey man, let's party all the time. All they cared about was partying. Nothing was important. Nothing was serious. When they went to college, they were still going, hey man, let's party. And then when I went back in my 20s, they were still going, hey man, let's party. In my 30s, hey man, let's party. In my 40s, hey man, let's party. And probably when they're 120, they'll have the 2 years left on their head, slicked back with their two teeth, with a leather bomber jacket, driving a Mustang, going, hey man, let's party. And some people, all they pursue in life is just having a good time. Now, when he says, rejoice in thy youth and walk in the sight of thine eyes, I think you could say he is saying something like, be young, have fun, drink Pepsi. Enjoy your youth. But remember that there's a difference between having fun and folly. Now, he adds on, he says, know thou that for all these things God will bring into judgment. And when you look at what we're doing a lot of times in Christian circles for just fun, it shows that we're not acknowledging our Creator. For instance, I think if you look at a lot of, nobody likes to talk about specific things because people think you should never mention actions. But God did. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt not commit adultery. God did. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart. Now, a lot of people don't like you mentioning specific things. But there are people today that are not remembering their Creator just because they want to swing from a tall tree and have a party. And so they're watching television programs that absolutely are wrong in the name of swinging from the tallest tree and having a good time. We're not hurting anybody. We're just having a good time. They're listening to music. And though we know that making music choices that are right doesn't make you spiritual, but they're listening to music that even they would admit, if they were honest, would be wrong. And it's all in the name of, I'm just wanting to relax, have a little fun. Watching movies, just want to relax, have a little fun. And even as far as going into drinking a can of beer once in a while, it's not hurting anybody. Now, there's a big difference between fun and foolishness or folly. Now, when I was a boy, I remember a high school student coming in, and he was bringing up this TV, this movie. I didn't watch it. It was called Animal House. And there was this thing where they did on Animal House, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And that came up, I guess, in Animal House. So I remember one of them got in trouble with the principal, and when they came back, they looked at each other at the science table and go, it just doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. And then they'd get in trouble with the parent, and they would go, it just doesn't matter. Now, some things don't matter. When I was in a restaurant one time, I said to the waitress, so when are you due? And I thought she was expecting. But she said, I'm not due. Now, my wife was mortified. Now, for me, it just doesn't matter. 100 years from now, it's not going to really matter, and she'll forget me. I remember going up to a girl and was standing by who I thought to be her grandmother, and I said, is this your grandmother? No, I am her mother. I have learned to keep my mouth shut. Now, some things like that, people get all worked up about. It just doesn't matter, really. But what does matter is that we are doing things that God said don't in the name of fun. Now, I like to read high school yearbooks. I was reading through one of fondest memories. Jenny Babbitts wrote, toilet papering a house with Janelle. Someone else wrote, food fights at lunch, my fondest memory. Somebody else, water bottle fights. Somebody else, sweet 16 parties. But when young people are getting together and crossing a line and watching movies with a bunch of cuss words, a whole bunch of stuff that we shouldn't be watching, adults are doing the same. And it's not just these things of movies, but we have to consider, are we living as if there's no God and every one of us can do whatever we think is fun, regardless of if it's right? Now, we believe that we were created by God, and I think all of us do, but we need to just evaluate, are we living like we believe that we were created by God? Are we living it out? And a good question to ask is, are we living it out? If you look at the goals of a monkey, we're living and pursuing those goals many times. Survive, just want to get by. Keep the boss off my back. Get the bills paid. Another month. Mission accomplished. I have achieved my objective for life. There's more to life than paying the bills until we die. There ought to be spiritual pursuits, spiritual goals, relationship goals with God and others. The spiritual, not just these survival tactics that we seem to get caught up in a rut with. All right, now surviving instead of a mission, a Christian mission, a spiritual mission, a mission to please our Creator. swinging from the tallest tree or just partying, having fun at all costs. You see it. People will say, well, I bought a boat and it wouldn't be a good use of God's money for me to not use it. So they take off and they don't go to church because they're making good use of God's money. Be honest. You're going after swinging from the tallest tree. You get an RV and all of a sudden, well, you never see them in church anymore. Why? Well, they're just being a good steward of God's money. What really is going on is you're really getting into the mindset of an evolutionist. I'm here to be young, have fun, drink Pepsi, eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow I'm going to die. And you forgot about your Creator's opinion. Now, we have to pursue spiritual goals if we're created by God. Now, first thing, I'm just saying sometimes we do get this mindset of an evolutionist. All right, survive, swing from the tallest tree. And what's the third goal of a monkey? It's to eat a few bananas, or let's live for material things. This young man that I saw one time, I heard his car about 10 billion miles away. And he stops about 5 feet in front of me. And when he got out, he walks up and he said to me, Mike, Brother Mike, he called me, this car has never been driven in the snow. This car has never been driven in the rain. When I get out, I wipe off the muffler. And he said those things. And I thought, would I like to have a 1983 Mustang that's never been driven in the rain with a nice clean muffler? I'd rather have a 1965 Mustang. But would I like to have a 1983 Mustang never been driven in the rain with a nice clean muffler? Sure. But I could tell that this guy's pursuit in life was a car. I can remember one of Becky's friends walked up with a purse and she says, look at my new Gucci purse. Gucci's the name brand in case you don't know. And my wife said to her friend, that's made out of vinyl. You said you hate vinyl. And her response was, well, yeah, but it's Gucci. Well, Gucci, Gucci, goo. And is a name brand going to make you have a better standing before God? Is an automobile going to make you a better person? And when we pursue these things, one thing we need to remember is that bananas will rot. And so will the material things. And, you know, if you're pursuing, you're really pursuing, listen, you're really pursuing making things better for your family. Good for you. God says, rejoice, O young man, and all this stuff in your youth. And now that we're older men, good. If you can make your life better and things better financially for your wife, good. But if you're doing that to the exclusion of making God your priority, all that you're pursuing is waste. It's the evolutionist life. And if you are somebody who's saying, well, I've got to pay the bills, I've got to make another, I've got to get the bananas for my family, so you're not going to church when you could. I'm not saying it's a sin to miss church if you have to work, but I'm saying you're not when you could because you're so wrapped up in overtime pay. You're so wrapped up in, I got to get. Then here's what you're doing. You're living like an evolutionist instead of a creationist. Now, how many of you agree with me that God could do more for us in 1 second than an entire year working on our jobs? And so God can provide if we just put him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, where do we come from? A creator. And all of the stuff that they're saying, evolutionists, there was a cold cloud. It spun around the sun and got hot. It formed masses of matter in an outside ring and went faster and faster and faster and faster and broke apart and was flung in space in form of huge planets. The Big Bang, and out came all of this. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, the firmament showeth his handiwork. And of course it was not by process of evolution. But where I came from should affect why I'm here. And we're living as if we are evolutionists. Now, what are you pursuing? I'll tell you what. If you look on your relationship with God, and if I look at my relationship with God, and you feel and I feel that we are not close to God like we once were, you will find that you probably started pursuing something else. Because if you pursue God, you always find him. He says, draw nigh to God, and I'll draw nigh to you every time. And so if we've gotten away from him, it's because we've gone after other pursuits. It's not he's left us, but we've left him, as we have left our first love. Now, survive, swing from the tallest tree, eat a few bananas, or go after a few material things. And I think that's where a lot of us are at. Now, the last thought that I want to look at, well, along that line, why are we on earth? What should be our pursuit? It should be first to find God, remember thy creator. And then it should be to glorify him. Know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Glorifying him. Isaiah 43:7, we're created for God's glory. Matthew 5:16, glorify God by our good works. Men see your good works and glorify God. Now, I know Pastor's been preaching a lot on that, and he's been talking about any good work that comes out is because of the light of Jesus that shines in you, as he and I have been talking. But the fact is, folks, the light is there because you're pursuing that light. And when you're not pursuing that light, the good works are not going to be there. There's never been a person who's walking close to God, pursuing a relationship with God, that at the same time is in sin at the moment that he's pursuing God. Because the presence of sin is the absence of fellowship with God. Now, finding God and staying in a relationship with God, to walk through life with God, that's one of the goals of a Christian. Our result will be we will glorify God. And that should also be one of the pursuits of the Christian. Now, God made us. If he made us, he owns us. He gave us an objective, and that is to glorify him. And you're not glorifying God with curse words, not glorifying God before angels with sinful activity, and not glorifying God when you're not living for him and you're pursuing other things. Now, where did that come from? Why am I here? And just a reminder to us, where am I going? All right, now let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11 and verse 9. Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Walk in the ways of thine heart, in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. All right? You've got what things? The way that we walk. The things that we do in the sight of God. And all of the things that we do in the sight of God and the choices that we make, every one of them, for all these things, God is going to bring you into judgment. Now, God is going to bring us into judgment for how we respond to our services. I think that there are less people committed now than have been in the past. I know I'm preaching to the Sunday school crowd, but I do think God's going to hold us in accountability for our choices that we make about Sunday night church, even about Wednesday night church, if we can be there. I think the ways that we walk. I do think God's going to hold us accountable for the ways that we walk, as far as even our our conduct before the unsaved world. I think there are a lot of people that are walking just like the world, and we'll answer to God for that. We will give an account for it. Now, is he going to say, I saw yesterday, my wife and I were out, and we saw six girls from the college where we were, the area where we were, and they were walking down the street in a herd. Girls always walk in a herd. They never go anywhere by themselves. But six girls walking down the road in a herd. And I said to my wife, I said, wow, I guess they like short shorts. And she said, they're skirts. And every last one of them had the same style where it was barely covering their undergarments. Now, I expect that from unsaved people because they believe that all life is we're just a bunch of monkeys. Be young, have fun, enjoy life. There's no accountability. You do what you want. You dress how you want. But I think that if we've got a creator, I think that we're going to answer to God for that. If unsaved dress that way, I expect that. But if saved dress that way, nobody likes to talk about it, about things you should do or shouldn't do. But when God put in the Bible the thing about putting on modest apparel, everybody knows that there's legalism. Some say you got to have it down below the knee. Some say, well, it can be above the knee. And some say, it doesn't matter if it's like 3 inches above the knee. Fine. But everybody knows that this is not modest. Okay? And when there's just not an honesty, it's because they're refusing to remember the Creator. It's not that they don't know what God wants. It's they're refusing to remember Him. And they're not glorifying God. When somebody knows that there are church services and knows that God said, forsake not the gathering selves together, everybody knows that there's legalism in that sometimes. People say, well, if you miss a service and you could have been there, you're not right with God. And the fact is, everybody knows that there's legalism in that. But also, though you may miss a service or though you may miss some event that your church puts on for good reason, everybody knows that just sitting home and watching TV is not a good reason. And everybody knows that if it's putting a sport activity over the things of God, an RV, a boat, people have to understand, I think most people understand, that that would be putting a God above Jehovah God. And when the commitment level is dropping, and God says in all things he would have the preeminence, then I would think that we would realize when he doesn't have the preeminence that we're going to answer to God for that. So we have an appointment with God. When the Bible says, husbands, love your wives, and they don't, when the Bible says divorce is a sin, and they do it, there's just an endless bucket of illustrations that we could look at. But the main idea is we are people that believe that we are created by God, and so this should affect everything while we're here. Now, where am I going? It says we're going to God for judgment. Now, if I came from an ape, evolutionists want you to believe you cease to exist. You die. That's it. They put you in a beautiful casket, put a set of nice clothes on you. They lower your body in the ground, and they give you a headstone. Then shortly after that, your eyes dry up. They fall back into your skull. Your skin dries, turns black, and it rots. And then the worms and the maggots have their way with you. And that's it. Isn't that something to look forward to? But we know that the Bible says that we return to God and we have a new body and we are going to go to heaven if we've accepted the Lord. Now, we all have had friends like my brother who passed away a year ago. Family. Where are they? I'm telling you, my brother's love was too big to cease to exist. His personality was too too awesome to cease to exist. And when you look at these people that you've known and they die, do you really think that everything has just ended, it's over? God says it's appointed a man once to die after this, the judgment, absent from the body, present with the Lord. And we still live after we die. And we know that. But that should affect why we're here, what we're doing. Now, if I came from Adam, I return to God for judgment, Ecclesiastes 12:7. Let's look at that one again, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 7. Then shall the dust, our body, return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return to God for judgment. Now, believe that, and it'll change your life. Believe that you'll return to God for judgment for everything, and that will change everything. And so, as simple as that is, we are created by the Lord. Now, evolutionists say that we were here by process evolution. It's survival of the fittest, then. Life is a selfish struggle to get ahead of everybody else. And the strong survive the weak, are destroyed. So I can take what I want. I can step on who I want. I can mistreat who I want if it's to my advantage. But if I came from God, I can't mistreat him. I can't hurt people for my personal advantage. And all of this that you see around you is a result of wrong thinking. There's no creator. We're just animals. A serial killer in Florida State years ago, I'm not trying to be crude, but he attacked several different women, raping those women. And it was a terrible, terrible serial crime that he was committing. But then, after he would attack the women, he would always kill the women. And when he would kill them, he was so demented, he would cut their body apart. And then he would leave parts of their body, like the head, or maybe the hand, or the arm, on a shelf. And they'd walk in and they'd discover the body parts. Now, when you see that, you think, that is demented. That guy's a sicko. Well, yes, he is. But look at it as, if you will, for just a moment, from an animal, evolutionist animal perspective. If I'm just an animal, then what he did was not that bad. Because an animal acts on its instinct, and an animal acts that way with other animals. I'm not trying to be out of line or grotesque, but animals sometimes are not married to one animal. Now then, we say, yeah, but he not only engaged in immorality and took advantage of those other girls, but then he's a sicko. He cut their body apart and he left body parts around. Yeah, well, animals do that after they kill, don't they? They don't eat the whole body. They leave parts of the animal parts around. That's why you might be able to find a deer carcass in the woods or something, or an animal carcass. Animals do that. Well, obviously, we're acting like a bunch of animals sometimes. And we see that out in the world, but the fact is, I think sometimes as we point the finger at what the world is doing, we are doing it in a smaller measure, but we're still living as if God does not really matter in our choices. But God is saying, remember your Creator in everything, in your choice about church attendance, in your choice about who you date, in your choice about how you dress, what you listen to. Remember your Creator in your vacations, in your finances, in your pursuits. And if God is not someone that you're remembering and is having the preeminence in everything, then you may just be a little bit more like an evolutionist that you say you disagree with than you think. So are you living as if you are a creationist? All right, let's bow our heads and we'll have a word of prayer. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I would like to ask you to consider some of the things that we've talked about. It has not been deep, but mainly a thought. Even the best of us can get into that mindset of survival instead of pursuing God and doing the very best we can for God. Just paying the bills instead of spiritual pursuits. And if you would say, Brother Mike, this is a good reminder to me. I think I feel like I'm just spinning my wheels, pursuing paying the bills from month to month, and I'm in this survival mode instead of taking ground for God, being aggressive for God, having spiritual pursuits. And if I'm not careful, I'm just going to be coasting and surviving until I die. And it'll be over. Now, if you would say, Brother Mike, I really believe I'm getting in the rut of just paying the bills, and I want to live like I believe in a creator and have spiritual pursuits every month, not just paying the bills every month. If you know what I'm saying and you feel like you need to make adjustments there, would you slip up the hand and put it right back down? Good, 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 good. Good. A simple thought, but an important thought. There's a little pocket coin that I've carried from time to time. It's a round to it. A friend gave me a round coin, and it had to it on it. And it's a reminder that I need to get around to it when something needs to get done. And so don't just pay the bills. Get your spiritual pursuits. Go after them. Now, secondly, I wonder how many of you'd say, Brother Mike, I've fallen into the lie that anything that's fun is acceptable, and there are certain trees that I'm swinging from to just have a good time that I think I crossed the line. I don't think my Creator really would accept the thing that I've done for my relaxation. He would call wickedness. What I've done to unwind, He would say is sin. And if you would say you believe that maybe you've just forgotten your Creator and the seriousness of what you do for fun in front of Him, and you want to get some of those things back in line, would you slip up your hand if God's spoken to you about getting some fun in line that was kind of crossing the line into folly instead of just fun? Okay. Now, how about this one? Is there anyone who would say my pursuit in life has been to get a few bananas and just try to get ahead materially, and I really need to realize the spiritual pursuits are more important than the material things? And so if you say, I've gotten sidetracked with material things and I want to start living as if I have a creator and I'm not just going to live like a bunch of monkeys trying to get a bunch of material things. And if you've been caught up in materialism and you want to get out of that, would you just slip up the hand if God's speaking to you about that? Good, 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 great. Be content with such things that you have, but pursue God, not things. Bananas will rot, and so will the material things. So let's live as if we are believers in our Creator and give Him preeminence in everything. Heavenly Father, we do pray that this short challenge about You will help us to refocus on You and to remember You as our Creator and to be creationists, not pretend that we're creationists. And being a creationist should affect everything that I do. If I believe in You, and I do, in Christ's name we pray together. Amen.